Gavin's Den is Wrecking Ball Radio.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Davin's Den, Filling the Void. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being a handicapped comedian looking to book a tour. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry and Pip Helix. Hello, all.
Hello.
Hi.
On the show, an interview with comedian Tim Grill. This blows my mind, about the difficulties he's facing getting his tour featuring all handicapped comedians booked. Do you know Tim?
No.
I know Tim. I've hired Tim for my company. I met Tim. We were working outside a club in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And Tim has spina bifida, and he plays a guitar. So you can imagine my elation following a handicapped guitar act.
Oh, boy. You got to get hustling really quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love them.
Yeah, there's no easing
into
yourself.
There's love and happiness, and then up comes you.
Exactly.
The get huffing, funny man.
So I'm standing in the back of the room, and I'm watching Tim kill.
Mm-hmm.
Just has a great set. I'm like, Tim is going to get a standing ovation in the feature spot.
Yeah, I better snap my ankle and get some crutches right now.
Yeah, and learn how to play a guitar or a triangle.
Yeah, right. Triangle, let me triangle and some crutches.
I'll do a beatbox. I got to do something.
Right?
Tim is killing it.
Mm.
I'm like, he's going to get a standing ovation.
Mm-hmm.
He did not get a standing ovation. I went up there, and I start killing it. And you know I don't throw that word around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't say I kill. I expect to do well. Mm-hmm. I'm killing it. I'm thinking, I'm going to get a standing ovation. I didn't get a standing ovation either.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, Tim is really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Tim is a really funny guy, and he is having problems getting his tour with three other handicapped comedians booked. And we're going to talk to Tim, and I know if they're anywhere close to Tim, it's not based on talent. And so Tim mm-hmm. feels there's been a little some discrimination going on.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk to Tim in a little while. Also, Joe, are you a fan of you two?
Not really.
Good, we'll get there in a second. But Bono thinks you and I are the key to defeating ISIS. Bono testified in front of a Senate hearing that the key to defeating ISIS is sending in the comedians. We'll discuss that. Oh, I forgot to download the song. Well, whatever. We'll discuss that. I forgot to download the stupid interview. Why doesn't anybody remind me of this crap?
Because it's you.
I understand. But yeah, and we'll reveal what the scammers are saying when they don't think we are looking. So I haven't done that in a while. We'll do that. So I mentioned you too. There are certain bands that are widely adored
mm-hmm.
by the masses. I would say you too is one of those.
Absolutely, bands. Absolutely.
But I don't like U2. I feel like Bono thinks he's a know-it-all. And it's kind of ironic I would say that because, you know, as a comic, I liked it. Well, you know, we should try to make points and make people laugh. You know, that's kind of my mindset.
It's mine, too. It's mine, too.
It is now. Right. You've shifted.
I shifted my material.
You've grown as a comic. You're finding your voice.
Mm-hmm.
And Bono's always done that. But, mm-hmm. But as a fan, that's annoying. And then, and like, I don't need him in front of. I mean, and he actually backs up what he says. He goes to places like Africa, and you know, he's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good guy. But then you have a guitarist like The Edge, and that just annoys me that he needs to have an article in front of his name. The Edge. Can you get any more pretentious or douchey? I just find them pretentious.
Well, these were just to be the devil's advocate here. These are nicknames that they had when they were kids in Ireland. Let's say when I was in a band. Let's say that my band Rock Up made it big, and people knew me as Plankfoot. All right, and it's like, who is this guy to call himself Plankfoot? That's been my nickname with my circle of friends since I was 15 years old.
Okay. All right, I'll let it go, kind of like I let Buckethead let it go.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you call yourself The Plankfoot, a little douchey. You add the article "the" in front of it. It now is no longer a nickname. It's a little douchey.
But that was like, you know, even like Sting. Sting, that was a nickname that he had when he was in his teens.
But the police don't annoy me.
I understand, but still, you know, I mean, Bono, that's his nickname.
But like, Sting's not in anybody's face. Sting disappears. That's what I go away, Sting, and he goes away. That's what I like.
He goes away.
Yes. Instead, I got stupid Bono every time I turn around, and he writes these lyrics. I remember in high school, it was like always the artistic kids, not autistic, artistic
mm-hmm.
kids
mm-hmm.
that loved U2. They love, and they had like lyrics were like sowing trees. What the hell is that? Give me poison, nothing but a good time. That's what I'm looking
well,
for.
Well, the thing about you too, I didn't like them in the studio. I mean, the later albums, there's a couple of, that I did like, but. Live, they were very good. Live, they were very good. But I just
saw them live.
I heard live tracks, and I think when he had a live album, they sounded really good. I never was a crazy U2 fan. I mean, my buddy has a U2 cover band, which I tribute band, which they're very, very good. Actually endorsed by U2, but you know, when I listen to the music, I start to get, you know, enjoy it a little bit more. But I own maybe two albums, you know, and those are later albums.
Here's how crappy U2 is. They have one of their stupid sad songs. And remember the show Friends? Very funny show.
Yeah.
I think it was like either Monica or Ross was heartbroken or Rachel's heartbroken. And they play this stupid whiny U2 song with the rain falling off the windows and everything. Like, oh, we're all sad. Yeah, go back to Belfast.
Yeah.
I got no... Yeah,
that was their choice? That was their problem because they chose that for the show?
No, it's a symptom.
You can't blame U2 for that.
No, I'm not blaming them. But it's another symptom of why they're annoying. They're ruining a perfectly good show.
Yeah.
They didn't ruin the show. By the way, his name is not The Edge, it's Edge.
It could be the go to hell. I don't care.
Well, you're saying that this is a big problem for you, and he didn't even do it.
Because they stink. they stink, and I'm not alone in it. So you're a big supporter of U2?
You know, I wax and wane because they're having...
We don't want to hear what you do in the private time.
That was a foot race again.
She's still talking. She can't, you know, she did not even acknowledge it.
Foot race, all right.
Had a little bit of a dirty joke there. Pip's like, I'm just going to plow through. Go on, I talked over you trying to be funny.
No.
Well, we were.
And I missed the dirty joke.
You did, and you have no one to blame but yourself and you too.
I do.
So you like U2?
I do, very much.
See,
and
that's
they're great live.
Ugh. So that's my point. These are bands that most people love that you got a problem with.
Bruce Springsteen is, but I hate Bruce Springsteen.
You hate Bruce Springsteen?
I can't stand
Bruce
Springsteen.
I put this on Facebook. Bruce Springsteen was like the most hated. And this is by people from...
He is awful. And I had a girlfriend I dated one time who is...
Well, they didn't usually last 2 days.
But she was a major, major Springsteen.
What do you hate
fan.
About Bruce?
His songs stink.
All right.
He says, and he sings...
Is it the voice?
Like,
you don't like
yeah,
the voice?
He sings like a walrus. Hey, little girl, pretty building, bro. Oh, shut up. And his music was so irritating. Now, okay, I would go to this girl that I dated's house, and we would sit there, and we would have to sit as the politically correct now crisscross applesauce on the floor listening to Bruce Springsteen. And he goes, isn't this wonderful? I go, no, this is horror. I go, can we sit on the couch? And no, I want to sit this way because I want to enjoy the music.
So Bruce annoys you.
Yes.
Do the fans annoy you?
Yes.
Because the Bruce fans are kind of self-righteous, especially if you're in Jersey, like you have to love Bruce. I don't love Bruce.
I don't love Bruce.
I like the Born in the USA album.
It's all right, yeah, you know.
All right, so you can find an album that you like.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's saying something.
There's actually, it's like you too, there's four songs from Springsteen I find all right. Born to Run is a very good tune.
Don't care for it.
A really good tune.
Don't care for it.
You know, but that's like, I don't have, what, 20 albums worth of stuff.
But he's another political activist, Bruce.
Well, the one thing, my problem with Bruce Springsteen is when he canceled that concert in North Carolina. Right. Now, he's got this agenda about transgender, about that whole law. Look, that's your feeling. That's fine. But what if you're a blue collar singer. You care about the working man and the blue collar people. Number one, you let down your fans who wanted to see you. Number two, those blue collar people that take the tickets, that run the crew, that you cost them a night's pay because you're so so self-righteous. I think it was a very hypocritical move on him.
All right. Pip, what do you think of the Bruce?
I'm not a huge fan, and I grew up in New Jersey. It was sort of like shoved down your throat, oh, you're supposed to be a big fan because you're from New Jersey? No, I don't have to be. Same thing as what Joe was saying. I don't really like his singing style, and I don't really relate to what he's talking about.
That's because you were never a working man, Pip.
I was never a working man. I was a working woman, and still am. But,
yes, yes, you mean, certainly
you know,
were.
We're pretty blue-collar in my family, and I still don't really... it doesn't float my boat.
Who's your musician or band?
Well, I have two. The Grateful Dead.
Ugh.
See, now, I don't know. Are they widely beloved? I kind of think that they're kind of nitpicky.
They ramble on. They play.
I didn't ask you to rip them apart yet.
No. Sorry. I'll wait my turn.
No, I mean, are they widely beloved or are they more of a niche thing? Because I think they're kind of a niche thing.
Niche thing.
Yeah, so I don't know if that really...
Is it a niche thing? I just thought that everybody seemed to love them. And I mean, I love Traffic, and they're a jam band. So everybody's like, oh, you must love the Grateful Dead. I'm like, no.
I like Touch of Grey.
That's their big tune, Touch of Grey. But that's like, they'll go, you know, that was their sellout song. It was.
Everybody's got to eat, Joe.
I'm just telling you what it is.
I don't think it fits the category because I think they're kind of a niche thing. A big niche. Mm. A big niche. But I think I don't think that fits the category. What's your other one, Pip?
The Doors.
The Doors. Yeah, they're kind of widely loved. I don't know. Do you think they ramble on too? Are the songs too long?
The songs are good. What drives me nuts is, and this was the technology they had at the time, Ray Manzarek's organ, that whiny organ that he had.
Mm-hmm. Yes!
That thing was a maddening, that organ.
But they got such good, like Blood on the Streets is a great song.
I know, but it's just that whiny organ that drove me nuts. I mean, they did have a lot of good tunes.
Sound of his keyboard playing, and I'm not really a fan of his theatrics. You know,
well, he's dead now. There's not much to it.
I really love this kind of singer. But I'm also like all the theatrical, you know, mother, I want to do this. Father, I want to do that. Oh, shut up.
Talking about your parents. How dare you?
Yeah, what do you want to do with parents?
Well, I think the Doors fits the category, though. I think Pip's in the minority now. I think they're widely loved, but I think the Doors fit that category. Another one for me that fits that category, Jimi Hendrix.
Hendrix was good.
Everybody loves Hendrix.
Hendrix was good.
And I get the guitar thing. I get it. But his voice is annoying to me.
Oh, his voice was good.
Now, I don't think his voice was good. But that's the topic.
Hendrix was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
Well, the guitar playing was amazing and it was groundbreaking. But the other thing was that, you know, Hendrix didn't even really think that he had a great voice either.
I haven't spoken to him recently.
Yeah. But it was the playing.
I was just chatting with him, and that's what he told me.
Yeah, you.
But when he went to England, the impact that he had, I mean, Page and Beck and, you know, Clapton had to go see him.
Clapton, another overrated.
No, absolutely
what?
Not. Absolutely
see,
not.
This is the thing. But Clapton doesn't annoy me. Clapton doesn't annoy me because he's not around too much.
Right.
All right. When we come back, we're going to be speaking with comedian Tim Grill. Don't you go anywhere. You are listening to Davin's Den. We're back. You are listening to Davin's Den. We are joined with comedian Tim Grill. Hello, Tim. How are you?
Good. How's it going, Davin? How you doing?
It's going great, man. I appreciate you coming on the show with us. As I mentioned at the top of the show, Tim is a very funny comedian. He has spina bifida. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. That's what I got.
Tim has a spina bifida, a very, very funny comedian. So he came up with the idea, him and his other fellow comedians came up with this guy, the idea of creating a tour of handicapped comedians and playing theaters. Tours have been popular in comedy for about 10 years now. It's a way to package something together, mm-hmm. you know, like the Blue Collar Tour, and get
right.
people in to the seats. What's the name of the tour?
It's called No Comic Left Behind.
No Comic Left Behind. Now, each comic, I understand, has a physical disability. Just briefly, can you tell us who are the other comics with you, and what are their disabilities?
Okay, well, there's myself with spina bifida, and then there's Michael Ronan. He's from Baltimore, and he's got cerebral palsy.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Mike Merry, who's from Rhode Island, and he's got cochlear implants. He couldn't hear until the age of 40, and then he got cochlear implants,
wow.
and now he can hear. And then there's a woman named Shannon DeVito who's got a spinal atrophy, so she's like confined to a wheelchair, and you know, and they're all incredibly funny.
These are all established working comedians.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
And the tour has done several shows. How were the shows received?
They were received great. We did one show in front of about 400 people.
Wow.
And they loved us. It was great, and people were coming up to us at the end saying like, you know, they were a little leery about it, but, you know, they thought that we were funny from beginning to end. So all three shows, or four shows that we've done, have been received really, really well.
Did you find that you were getting a lot of handicapped people coming to the shows in the audience?
Not as of yet. No, we've done just like regular shows. We did one at the Stress Factory, and then we did three like independent shows. Mm-hmm. One was like a banquet hall,
right?
And so they were just normal shows.
Okay, but now we were. I saw you posted something on Facebook, and you were saying you've been running into trouble getting the tour booked of late. What's going on?
Well, Mike Ronan and myself are doing, you know, all the legwork and stuff like that. And at first we hired an agent. And the agent said that he was having problems getting us press. And so after a while, you know, he came back to us and he said, I'm having problems getting this tour press. And he said apparently people, you know, some people feel uncomfortable about, you know, the four of us talking about our disabilities. Saying that it, you know, it could be on PC and stuff like that.
Do you guys talk about your disabilities in the act? That's part of the show?
Yes.
And it's not in a preachy way. These are comics. You're making jokes about yourself, I'm guessing, and the things you encounter, correct?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I can speak for myself. I mean, I only do about 10 or 12 jokes in my act about my disability, then I move on and talk about other things. So it's not even all about my disability. But I do talk about growing up with it,
right,
as well as the other three do, you know, at this, you know, the same time.
But how can they say it's un-PC?
I don't know. We went to two theaters. A buddy of ours, Mike and I, a comedian friend of ours, pitched our idea to a theater in Pennsylvania, and the manager got back to them and said, "Well, you know, I'm leery about booking this show because I'm afraid people are going to feel uncomfortable with these four people talking about their disabilities." And then a theater in South Jersey told us the same thing. So we're kind of running into problems, you know, trying to get this tour off the ground. And you know, if people saw the show, they would see that it's incredibly funny.
Mm-hmm. It almost sounds like It almost sounds like the Dark Ages, where they kind of like feel like handicapped people should be shunned and we shouldn't have to see it. I mean, it feels like that to me.
Well, that's exactly what it is. In this day and age, it's still, you know, put people with disabilities in a corner and you know, give them a thumbs up and say, "Hey, you're doing a good job," but you know, don't speak or anything. You know,
it's a shame too, because there's that perception that it might not be funny. But I work at the Governor's Clubs out on Long Island, and we have a fella, Jordan Lauterbach, who's got a disability, who's absolutely hysterical, and you know, and he goes up there and he destroys, and I would have no problem. The audiences love him, so yeah, it's kind of an ignorance part on the club owners.
Do you think this is discrimination, Tim?
To a degree, yeah, I would say so. I think that, you know, I mean, there's all other kinds of tours. You know, there's, you know, the African-American, you know, comics doing it, and Latino, and, you know, even LGBT groups are having tours and stuff like that. It's, you know, and then it's, why can't we have our little niche?
I almost feel
like we're running into problems.
I almost feel like you guys would be kind of bulletproof if you had, like, a vet, like a war veteran who was, like, injured in the war. Who is handicapped now? I almost feel like, how are they going to say no to that? I mean, it shouldn't come down to it, but I almost feel like, well, how are you going to say no to the guy who fought for our country?
Right, exactly. And maybe that would change. Maybe that would change things a bit. But, you know, as far as the four of us being born with our disabilities, you know, I think it's a very funny show. It's also a very empowering show, I think, you know.
I agree.
So that, you know, you can overcome anything and do what you want. I mean, I think it takes, you know, it takes a special person to do stand-up, you know, alone.
Well,
you know, somebody with a physical disability who has to go up there, and the audience obviously knows they're disabled. So, you know, you have to make them laugh quick because they're going to feel uncomfortable.
Is the tour being marketed with the message of inclusion empowerment? Is that part of the literature that
Yes.
you guys?
Yeah, that's how Mike and I have approached it. Mm-hmm. You know, we also do a Q&A at the end of the tour. In case anybody, you know, if anyone wants to ask us questions and stuff like that, we sit up there, we bring everybody back up, and you know, we have them ask questions, you know, so we can have it be informative, too.
It's kind of remarkable that this still is. Now, do these venues have to, like, make special accommodations for you as performers? I mean, I think everybody has to be up to code, every venue, right?
That's interesting. The only person that needs accommodation is Shannon. Mm-hmm. She's in the wheelchair. So we have run into problems where, you know, she couldn't get on the stage. you know, all the stages have steps, pretty much. And, you know, it's not many places that have a ramp. So it's very difficult for her to, you know, to get accommodated.
Now, you and I had a discussion when I first approached you about this. I said, well, hey, you want me to contact some of these venues and get their side and, you know, kind of say, hey, why aren't you guys booking these guys? And you told me no, not to. How come?
Well, I don't want to drag names into this. I don't want to, you know, I just wanted to get the word out there that if this is happening. But I just didn't want to point the fingers at anybody. I mean, you know.
I think that's the comic in you, Tim. Because comics, we don't. it's true. Comics don't
see,
like to.
I don't want to burn bridges.
Yeah, that's the comic. And that's the way we all are. It's not just Tim.
Yeah.
But I also feel that these people almost need to be guilted into this. I mean, I hate to say the word guilted, but I mean, a spotlight needs to be shown and go, hey, you know, we got this really funny tour, and, you know, you think we're going to make our audience uncomfortable, and that way you can have the people respond and go, no, we want to see this.
Yeah, but you know what? You got a great thing going, and anybody who doesn't want to participate in it is missing the boat. So just keep, just don't give up. Keep going with this, because I'm telling you right now, it's going to be big. Once you get people on board and it starts getting momentum, there's nothing that's going to stop you guys.
Well, maybe stairs.
No.
Sorry, Tim, I'm a comic. I
had to take a bite on it.
Yeah, Tim actually posted. He goes, oh, something about something that, you know, nobody will make fun of me. Funny for you if you're handicapped. Like, oh, I'll make fun of you, silly.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
So, Tim, how can people learn more about you and the tour to get this booked, find out about it? How can people learn more?
Okay, well, they can go. We have a website called No Comic Left Behind, www.nocomiclefthbehind.com. They can go there, and they can. My phone number is on there. If anybody wants to get in touch with me to, you know, for booking or anything like that, we have our bio is on there and stuff like that. We're all seasoned comics. We've all been at it, you know, 10, 15, you know, years and stuff like that. So, you know, there's no beginners on this thing, and you know, so they can go there and check us out.
Great, Tim. Well, we wish you luck.
Absolutely.
Like Joe said, I think this is going to be.
It's going to be a powerhouse.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Thank you for taking the time.
Thanks so much.
We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Our pleasure. Take care, buddy.
Bye bye.
All right. Bye bye.
We're back. You were filling in. We're Davin's Den, filling in for ourselves, filling the void. Screwed that up. Anyway, maybe. So Bono was much more successful talking in front of Congress than I am right now. And Bono had a brilliant idea to fight ISIS. He said, there's one thing that can defeat ISIS. No, Joe, it's not tanks and planes. It's comedians. So we're going to try to get this to play, and then we're going to talk about this. Here's Bono testifying.
Don't laugh, but I think comedy should be deployed. Because if you look at National Socialism and Daesh and ISIL, this is the same thing. We've seen this before. We've seen this before. They're very vain. They've got all the signs up. They're really, it's show business. And the first people that the Weimar, the Adolf Hitler threw out of Germany were the Dadaists and the Surrealists. It's like you speak violence, you speak their language, but you laugh at them when they're goose-stepping down the street, and it takes away their power. So I'm suggesting that the Senate send in Amy Schumer and Chris Rock and Sacha Baron Cohen. Thank you.
Actually, that's not the first time I've heard experts on how do we counter violent extremism talk about that.
I'm actually serious. not about the three characters.
And it is one of the things that I know we're looking at.
First off, are we? Is that really something we're looking
at?
Yeah,
they're setting up a mic at the Pentagon as we speak.
Oh, listen, even Donald, I mean, Donald Trump says outrageous things, and Donald Trump has never said, I've said, I'll build a wall, and then I'll send in comics.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right. I'm apoplectic. Do we take Bono seriously? Has Bono jumped the microphone? Is it done? I mean.
Yeah, we should just send you two there.
Really? Why doesn't he send himself? Why doesn't he volunteer to bring him in a stupid band?
Yes, he knows he's dangerous there. Send the dumb comics. They'll go anywhere.
Well, a gig's a gig, Joe.
Well, that's right.
I mean, does he have a point, though?
No. I don't know if he really has a point. I mean, I kind of understand in a fairy tale land kind of way that he's saying maybe if we could get them to lighten up a little bit, they wouldn't be so, like, dangerous. But sending comedians into the void is the answer.
Hey, guys, before the beheading, how about a couple of yucks?
Yeah, and let me do a church gig and you say hell and the booker calls you the next day that you're never coming back. You're going to go to a radical religious country and do your act. You're going to die.
They have a point. These burkas are ridiculous. Yeah. Well, thank goodness we had comedy.
Yeah, exactly. No.
I think the fact that he's in front of Congress just shows what a bunch of star humpers Congress is.
Oh, of course.
I mean, can we stop with bringing in Bono? Can we stop?
Yeah.
I mean, and do you think Chris Rock and Amy Schumer and what's his name? Baron Cohen, whatever his
Sacha
name.
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah. Do you think they're going, what?
Yeah, I ain't going there.
Arabs be stealing it. Run! Run, black man, run! Are you kidding me?
No, and it's like, and the entertain, but that's a great idea, but anybody else they throw out.
Because I'll tell you what, I know ISIS really wants to hear from an American woman telling her point of view.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
She gets sensitive when people call her a whore.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't think it's going to go. You got to be kidding me there. Would you work the gig?
Of course.
Would you?
No, I wouldn't go there. No.
I would not. I've gone overseas for our troops. But I'm not going over there for ISIS.
Yeah, because you're on the side where all our guys in the tanks are, not the other side.
Yeah, exactly. There's a reason for you. Stay inside the wire. Don't go out there.
Yeah, right. You're doing your jokes in front of an M1 Abrams tank. You're safe.
All right. Theoretically, if Bono was president, we can dare to dream. And we did go over there. We thought it might be funny if we could come up with the act. Pip, what would your act for ISIS be?
I issue a disclaimer. These are terrible.
You did that before every show you've ever done.
Yeah, I stand by that disclaimer still.
Okay.
Okay.
We're not expecting gold here.
This is awful. Okay, a member of ISIS, Catholic, and a Jew walk into an ankle bar. There's a woman in a burqa on the pole. The Catholic says, hey, she's the bomb. The Jew is confused because he doesn't know how they know her family name, and the ISIS member is upset that he wasn't left in on the plot. Yeah, the silence is exactly what I was expecting.
No, we're laughing on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. All right. How much time we got, Jeff?
We got about a minute and a half.
You got time for yours?
I most certainly do.
All right, Jeff.
Hey, did you see the Miss Syria beauty pageant on Al Jazeera? All the girls come out, parade around, then get stoned to death. When I was told my friends I took this gig, they asked me, what if you don't do well? And I said, meh, it's okay. Nothing to lose my head over. I know what you're thinking. How good would I look in an orange jumpsuit right now? You hear of orange as the new black? Well, I guess orange is the new fade to black. Ah, very, very nice looking group, all of you. Yeah. Could you stand a little closer so the drone can see you? Two radical Muslims walk into a bar. They blow it up. Hey, is this thing on? Huddle, huddle.
All right. We'll come back. We'll do mine. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Davinson. Don't go anywhere. We're back. You listen to Davin's End, Fill in the Void. When we took our break, we were going over our comedy routines for ISIS that brain surgeon Bono recommended we brush up on because we're gonna combat ISIS. So what happens in comedy when you take a break? Sometimes you have to take a break when you're doing these big gigs. So what happens is you bring on the host to warm the audience back up. And since I'm closing this thing, we're gonna bring up the host again, Pip. Pip, get the audience ready. Wet the palate for me.
Okay, hold on. Here's a bomb coming. What does ISIS call the headless horseman? A job well done. Thank you, thank you. And now, here's your headliner.
Wow. You never really want to come up to booze.
Usually you leave them to the...
Exactly. You never want to have to step over the rotten tomatoes as you make your way to the mic. But I appreciate the effort. Not that I don't know if mine's going to be much better. But here's how I would approach it. Good evening, property and gentlemen. All right, I got a laugh off the bat. I'll take it.
Yeah, right.
So I'm flying over here, and the gay flight attendant asked me if I ordered the kosher meal. So I killed him. I do have one Jewish friend. No, don't boo. I actually...
No, don't boo. Oh, that's funny. No, don't boo.
This is actually going way better than I anticipated. Well, maybe you should be a member of ISIS and I should go over there, Joe.
No.
Comics have died.
No, don't boo.
I do have one Jewish friend. No, don't boo. I actually visited him in Palestine. I took him for a nice drive into the sea. I love performing here in the Caliphate, where property is respectful. Unfortunately, I play just got that one, Joe. Unfortunately, I play places like churches and synagogues and even mosques in other parts of the world, and the property are such horrors, showing faces and legs. They are begging to be raped. Am I right, fellas?
Oh, God. Can I get a la-la-la on that?
Can I get a la-la-la? That's how you know you do it well. How'd they do? I got a la-la ovation.
La-la-la, yeah, la-la ovation.
Do any of you future martyrs want to join me on stage and act as my arms? You, sir, thank you. All right, so here's the scene. We're going to act out a scene. We're getting ready to go out for a night in town, so I'm making my explosives. Then I'm putting on my vest. Now we're driving. We're driving. I see Ahmed, and I wave. The market is packed, so I get out of the car. I'm walking, and I pull the cord. That isn't the cord, and that will get us killed if we enjoyed it. Try again, and I'm pulling, and kaboom! We're all dead! Give the soldier of Islam a nice round of applause. La 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 la. Thank you, folks. And remember to stop by the merch table and pick up an orange jumpsuit for that soon-to-be honor-kill prisoner you have back at home. And don't think I forgot the property in the audience. I have burkers that say, it ain't rape if I have no rights. Perfect for Ramadan. Good night and death to America.
Thank you, thank you. And also, try the halal veal. He'll be here all the week. Or until some nice men want to take him to the desert.
Did I close out our ISIS show?
I think it's closed, yes.
I knew if I didn't have merch, Joe would say it wasn't really an authentic performance.
You're right, right.
And I wasn't doing my best.
Merch table.
Well, listen, Joe. I mean, listen. Capitalist.
Where are we going to set the merch table? On the back of this old Toyota pickup. Put the bed. They love them things. Holy smokes.
Take the anti-aircraft off the bed of the truck. I got t-shirts to sell.
That's the one thing about the, like, you always see these tough truck commercials. Our trucks are the toughest. Really? How about a 72 Toyota? It just destroyed a village. So go tow your logs with your F-150, okay?
It's really an untapped market. I really feel Toyota needs to get on that.
Yeah. Right. Oh, what a feeling.
You know, if there was a Ford, Trump would say, well, I told Obama there shouldn't have been a bailout. All right. Thank you, guys. We got a little bit more show to do. We're going to talk about what the scammers are saying that they don't want us to know. You're listening to Davin's Den, Fill in the Void. Don't go anywhere. Back, last segment, Davin's Den, Filling the Void. So we haven't done this in a while, guys, but, sometimes I like to infiltrate these scammers' Facebook pages and Facebook groups and their websites just to give everybody kind of gist on how they operate, how they communicate with each other, sometimes how they talk about their victims. It's a popular bit, but I don't think we've done it in this format, on this platform.
No, we haven't, but it is a very fascinating topic to go over.
Yeah, so I thought we would do that. And I'll give you the names.
I love hearing this background information, like behind-the-scenes stuff from them. Mm.
It's like behind the music, but with your credit card information.
Yes.
This comes from Fulleran Emmanuel Timelon. I'll tell you what, that's a great Scrabble name.
Use the whole box.
So he's on a group and he's asking, please, anybody with military format here. And what people need to understand is a lot of the scammers like to steal military pictures, pictures of our servicemen and women, because people are suckers all over the world for an American in uniform. So that so he's actually asking. So then he's getting response from Kasi Chakwujama. He's got I get military pics. And Olamide DeCashwire, I wonder if that's his birth name, says, I got dope, but one not for free. And that's what you need to understand here. If you a lot of times you think you find a soldier online and you think you're in love with them, but you're really a lot of times you're talking to an African.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, but they're just lying and full of crap and stealing ID and they want to take your money.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how it works. Don Mickey says, if you need U.S. phone number and Google Voice, urgently inbox me now. You can receive SMS from USA and Canada. Canada, I think those are, what are the, what's SMS? Are those voice messages or texting? I think that's what it is.
I think it's text.
I think it's texting.
I think it's text.
Send free SMS.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's SMS. Not SMF. We're not talking about Twisted Sister. Send free SMS to U.S. and Canada. Make and receive calls from both USA and Canadian, all for free. You can also use the number to register at Yankee WhatsApp. WhatsApp is another free tool, an app as well. No, no time wasters and is not for free. Series G, inbox me. So what they're trying to do here is they are trying to get phone numbers that appear to be American numbers. So when they say, hey, I'm in Michigan, call me, or if they call you, it shows up as a Michigan number, so you don't think like, "Wow, that really sounds like a foreigner." They don't talk like a foreigner,
right? But right,
I'm calling the states, I'm calling Canada. It's a way to make themselves seem legit, and these are tools that they use, right? Pip,
I'm sorry,
I'll concur on that. Yes,
okay, Pip, you just go back to sleep, sweetheart. This is from Soji Richie Wire. I wonder if he's Jewish.
I think he's from the No Ports Richie Wires.
Yes, yes. Alert for the group. If you know you have a sure and fast client, tell he her to open Pinnacle Bank account. It available in all states. Immediately she open it and get back to me with the details for fast loading. If your client fast 2 to 3 times loading a day, and I go to load it 5 times. No time to check, time to tell your client now to get it open against next week. Info needed to open the account. So basically they're saying, hey, open up this Pinnacle account, get the information, and I have a way of getting in there, and they won't even know what's going on.
Wow, yeah.
Oh, man.
That's horrible the way they do
and
that.
And the guys would be, listen, I'm trapped overseas. I need you to send me money, which is a common scammer story. Put it in this Pinnacle Bank. I have access to it, and then I can get it. And then they put the money in there, and they'll just rob you blind.
Mm-hmm. And just be careful when you see things like that. If you're getting that information, don't do it. Just close it, erase it, or report it.
And what they would ask you for is the bank name, the account number, your routing number, although they call it a routine number because they don't know what they're talking about.
A routine number.
A routine number.
Nothing out of the ordinary.
That's a regular 123-4569. Just a regular routine number, kids. Username, password, your security question, and answer all the questions and send it to me fast. This comes from WebD. WebD. And see, they're not even using – some of them aren't even using their real names.
Mm-hmm.
They're smart. I can design any bank website at all in the world and create an account for you with username and password and flash money inside. So it means show the money. So if you give the login to the client, he or she will see that you have money in your account. Serious movement to make your client believe and trust you. I can also design gold website, shipping company website with tracking number, and many more. So if anything, just link me up. So these are business websites they can
design.
Right,
right. And folks, you're seeing these on your emails that you get every day. I mean, I do this show, and I get these fraudulent things coming in every day. So this is something that these people are making that look legitimate, that they're sending out every day, and you may see 1 to 2 of them almost maybe 3 times a week.
Well, you tell your concerned sister what you're doing, but you go, but no, I saw he has an account.
Yeah.
This is legit. There was $1,500.
They're creating these.
Yes.
There's a side, underworld side business that creates this stuff.
This is from Dosted King. Any new sites to get Moogoos, let me know. Moogoos, they consider us Moogoos. Stupid Westerners, stupid Americans, stupid white people. So they want, this guy's asking if there's any new sites where they can pick us off.
Mm-hmm.
This comes from, and somebody responded to that. This comes from DeHope Nika Cobby Brown. DeHope Nika Cobby Brown. He says gay site. I guess I don't know if he's being funny, but yeah, a lot of times they think, well, they must be straight. No, they target homosexual victims as well.
Mm-hmm.
This is for your picture and document editing. Link up on WhatsApp or inbox me, and let's work things out. I know you know Mugu must pay this year. And then he shows an example of his photoshopping, and I'm going to show it to Joe. And there's a picture of Juliana Avalos, so a person we know a lot about. She's been a victim of a lot of identity theft. And then they photoshop another woman's face onto there.
Yeah.
And it's actually very good. And that's what they do. So, like, well, show me a picture of you in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. You say you're in Washington, so they'll find a picture of somebody in Washington, D.C. and put the face of whoever they're pretending to be to extract the confidence. So we'll stop there. Just wanted to give you a little taste. Pip, anything going on?
No, not this week.
Joe?
Not this week either.
We're just a busy bunch of beavers, aren't we? next, I will be April 29th and 30th. I will be at Bananas Comedy Club in Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey. For tickets, call 866-468-7619, 866-468-7619. As always, you can hear this show on replay, unedited, with all the parts to it. You go to davinsden.com, davinsden.com. Please like us on Facebook, Davin's Den, and follow us on Twitter, at Davin's Den. Pip, what's your Twitter handle?
Pip Helix.
No, don't sound so enthused. Joe, what's yours?
Plankfoot at Twitter.com.
Plankfoot at Twitter. Of course, I am at Davin Comedy. I do believe the time is drawing to the end, Joe?
Yes, it most certainly is.
All right. Well, thank you guys for hanging out. We'll see you next week. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.